You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Chris Hipkins.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. It's good to chat with you. Hot on the heels of a very big announcement yesterday, the government's announced a $2 billion climate investment fund for renewable energy. Now, this is money that's coming from BlackRock Investment Company, which is a big international company. This has been a really interesting announcement, which has had, I guess, quite a lot of reckons around it. Can you explain a little bit about why we've gone overseas for some funding to get us to 100% renewable energy in Aotearoa?
So while BlackRock's an overseas company, the fund that they're targeting or that they're establishing is actually targeting New Zealand investors. So this is to some extent about providing New Zealand investors an opportunity to invest more in New Zealand's renewable energy transition. We know that we're going to need a lot more equity injected into our energy companies and into our renewable energy sector if we're going to have more wind farms, more solar panels, more renewable energy, more battery storage, more EV chargers, you know, all of the things that go with the transition to renewable energy are going to require investment. If you think about people's superannuation, their KiwiSaver and so on, a lot of those funds want to invest in renewable energy. What BlackRock, a major fund investor, can do is establishing a renewable energy fund, is give those companies the opportunity to invest in our renewable energy transition. So this could be your own KiwiSaver or your own superannuation fund that could be investing in these renewable energy assets that are going to be beneficial for the country, you know, for years and years to come.
There has been a bit of commentary from folks like Greenpeace about the potential for this to be some sort of greenwashing. How would you respond to that?
Well, I don't agree with that. Ultimately, we need to, if we want renewable energy, someone has to pay for that. Someone's got to pay for the upfront cost of that. Ultimately, the consumers pay for that across the life of the asset. So if you think about this, this is no different to the way we fund electricity now. We pay the cost of our electricity generation every time we pay our monthly power bill. But someone's invested up front in order to generate that electricity, and they get their return from the fees that we pay to use the electricity. That's going to continue to be the case. And so what BlackRock are doing basically is providing or facilitating that upfront investment so that we can invest in more of the renewable electricity assets that we know we're going to need.
So 100% renewable energy is a great goal for Aotearoa. How long is the transition to that actually going to take us, though?
We've said we want to get, that's a very ambitious target, we want to get to 100% renewable electricity by 2030. That is going to require a lot of work and a lot of investment. But things like solar panels, things like wind, this can make a big difference, and it can really make a difference quite quickly.
We're also seeing a little bit of, conversation around whether this is a drop in the bucket of our broader climate problems that we've got at the moment. What would you respond to that?
We're working with urgency to deal with our climate response. We are looking at the things that are going to give us the biggest bang for buck and make the biggest difference quickest. So during the time that I've been Prime Minister, I've focused in on those things that are going to reduce our emissions the fastest. If you look at the New Zealand steel deal, that has the potential to reduce 1% of New Zealand's overall emissions every year. And the key thing that we have to do there is invest some money in building an electric arc furnace to replace their existing fossil fuel furnace. If you look at the Fonterra deal, they're currently burning coal in order to process milk. If we move them to electricity, it's going to be better for us internationally in terms of our exports, but it's actually going to reduce our reliance on coal. These are things that the government's backing that are actually going to make quite a big difference. We're removing all coal boilers from the public sector. That includes schools, hospitals, and so on. That's going to make a difference. We're transitioning to electric vehicles faster than just about any other country in the world. We've got one of the fastest uptakes of electric vehicles anywhere in the world because of the clean car rebate that our government put in place. We're getting incredible bang for buck from that. So we're looking at how can we accelerate our transition to renewable fuels, reduce our fossil fuel emissions as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible.
Well, speaking of big climate things, let's talk a wee bit about transport here in Tāmaki Makaurau. There was another big announcement earlier this week of a $45 billion plan to get a harbour crossing, second and third harbour crossing situation going here. This is going to mean tunnels across the Waitemata Harbour. Well, everybody who lives in Auckland knows this is a problem. It's something that absolutely needs to be addressed. But we are seeing the Greens criticising this plan for not prioritising the most climate-friendly options, so the light rail tunnel and the biking and walking. Why are we going for cars first? What's going on here?
Well, we are prioritising mass rapid transport and active transit transport in the preferred option in order to get buses, dedicated bus lanes on the Auckland Harbour Bridge and dedicated space for walking and cycling on the Auckland Harbour Bridge. You have to move that traffic to somewhere. So moving the cars off the Auckland Harbour Bridge and into tunnels actually opens up the space to extend our existing bus lanes, which are proving to be incredibly successful, onto the Auckland Harbour Bridge, give them dedicated space, which will significantly speed up the bus journey from the North Shore into central Auckland. And it will also free up space for those active transport modes like walking and cycling, using the existing Harbour Bridge. One way or the other, we've got to build more capacity if we want to have space for those things.
We are seeing this as it's a massively ambitious plan again, but we're also seeing that it's not necessarily going to kick off until the end of the decade. Are you confident about the feasibility of the timeline that your government's laid out for this?
These things take time. So if you think about the prospect of putting a tunnel under the Waitemata Harbour, there's a lot that needs to happen. We've got to buy all of the relevant land. We've got to make sure that we've got the design right. So the sheer design and planning and engineering, it's going to be a very big undertaking. Then we've got to actually make sure we've got the capacity to deliver it. That involves employing a lot of people. This is going to be a big project. It's going to involve a lot of people working on the ground to make it happen. And we can't just magic that up out of nowhere. So, it's a very, very big project. If you look at similar projects, Transmission Gully took about 20 years to actually happen. The construction work of that took, I think, 11 or 12 years. But there was nearly a decade in the planning before that. So we're being very ambitious of the timetable for getting this job done.
And what conversations have you had with Auckland Council to get to this stage? Have they been part of this discussion?
Well, the consultation process has been very public, so everybody's had the opportunity to have their say on it. When you talk about Auckland Council, of course, there's different players within the Auckland Council. I know the Mayor has some views on that, and we'll continue to work with them on it.
Let's talk about polling before we let you go. It is getting pretty tight heading into the election year. Is the Labor Party feeling concerned about the potential block that National Enact could create?
I'm feeling very optimistic about the election. It's going to be a very close election. But I think that we have the potential to really, turn things around once we get into the campaign. And I think the Labor Party, we've been busy focused on governing and working, leading the country through some really